This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, let's start now with something that we all want to talk about, right? And it's about dating, right? Now, before we get into the details and all the issues, how would you define dating? Anyone? Like, if I took my wife tonight, like I asked one of you to babysit my three boys, and I took my wife to a nice restaurant, and we spent the night there 3 hours, and we just had a nice dinner, and we spoke for 3 hours, and then we came home. Is that a date? Were we dating? Yes? Okay, so we need to be then more specific about what we are talking about, right? So let me ask you this question then. In your perception, if you were to define it, how would you define dating? Anyone? Someone? Please? Anyone? Someone? Sheikh, one of you. What is dating? Tell us. We are excited to know. Wait. So you're saying that if I meet a girl before I marry her, that that's dating? So, whoa. Most of you then are you're dating, right? If you meet the opposite sex according to this definition, then you've been dating. Okay, but continue. So dating, it means that you're spending money. Right? So you're meeting the opposite sex and you're spending money, right? So that's dating. And what else? And you're not married. You're not married yet, right? So keep that in mind. No one's married here yet. And then? So you want to get to know them better. But here's the question. Here's the thing that we really need to ask. Do you intend to marry this person after all of this spending of money? And getting to know each other and going out and seeing you and spending time together. Do you intend to marry this person? That's the question. Because now we have something called Islamic dating, don't we? We have something that's like, you get like a chaperone with you, you spend weeks and months, going out on these dates and go to the movies, go to the restaurants, go to the malls, go out, somewhere camping or something, but the father or the brother's always there. You never, no physical contact, but you have grown, emotionally attached. You have a huge emotional investment in this person now, right? With the intention, of course, of... Now, I don't want to spoil anyone's parade here, but even if you'll be going out with someone for 5 years and then you get married, you are going to find out things about him or her that you never knew, right? You never knew at all. I don't want to give you examples now. We'll get there later. I don't want to spoil the surprise for you, okay? But when you get married, no matter how well you know the person, you are always going to have, they're always going to be thinking, because when you go out dating, do you go in your worst clothes? No, you don't, right? When you go out dating, is your mood always good? Yeah, you don't show that person that you're depressed or you're feeling down or that, especially like, if you've had a rough day or, if someone has just, given you an earful, like your mother or someone, or you've had a hard time at work with your boss and, you're happy, you're always excited, you always smell good, you always look good, right? Nothing is too big for you, nothing overwhelms you, you're so strong, you're so emotionally secure, right? And then, when you get married, oh no, why is my wife crying for no reason? Like, I thought she was so independent and strong. Oh, right? And then the wife looks at the husband, why is he so untidy? He doesn't clean up after, but he always looks so neat. His car was always so clean, but he's like a pig now. Doesn't make sense. So what I'm saying is, let's come back to the point that we are making. Yes, dating means that I am interested in someone, a boy interested in a girl interested in a boy. They go out on dates, they see each other often. If they're not seeing each other, at least they're texting each other, they're sending each other messages, they are trying to interact on some level. They might not necessarily be spending of money, that's old fashioned, right? Especially from a male perspective. Women pay for dates now as well, right? So, yay for equality, right? So, but the point I want to make here is that they are not married. And most of the time with Muslims, the intention is that I'm checking out this person, if this person is suitable for marriage, right? And in, before we really become, I don't like this word this much, but practicing, have you heard this? When you become a practicing Muslim, like what were you before this? Not practicing? Like you had a practicing doctor. I'm very afraid to go to a practicing doctor. Does he know what he's doing? You know, I don't know. He's still practicing. But the point I want to make here is that people, Muslims, they want to know if this person is suitable. In our culture, in South Africa, that's not always the intention. Marriage is not always on our mind. Okay? So when I'm in high school, when I'm at university and I see someone that I'm interested in, I'm not really thinking marriage. I'm not thinking a house and children and all of those things. Right? I'm really thinking about, you know, short-term sexual desires and those type of things. That's what people are normally thinking about in most cultures. If the culture happens to be more conservative, more religious, then yes, the intention is normally, I'm interested in this person, him or her, and, you know, let's see if marriage can happen out of this. Okay? But the dating that we are to talk about now, inshallah ta'ala, includes all of those different definitions. Doesn't matter, but if you're not married, and you are in contact and involved with someone, even if, like some people haven't even met yet, right? I'm not going to ask, but there might be people here in this hall today who is having a relationship with someone they've never met yet, and that person lives in a different part of the world, right? Possible? Just wink, you know, that I know it's you. Yeah. Anyway, but never seen them. But there's this emotional attachment now. There's this emotional, you know, investment that they have in this person, even though they've never met this person. So that's still dating, even though they're not physically going out and eating together and having fun together, right? Now the question now then is to be asked that, yes, I am interested in this person and we are in this kind of relationship. The question is it permissible? Right? Is it something which Allah has allowed? That's the question we want to ask ourselves. So Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about who we are permitted to marry and what we are permitted to eat, not in detail, but certain things about that. Part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانِ. And they do not take secret lovers, meaning they do not take from the opposite sex people that they are not married to, that they indulge with in sexual intimacy or even emotional intimacy, because you can have emotional intimacy without physicality, can't you? Without the physical touching anyone? Yes, you can. So when you're on the phone with that person, I love you, I miss you, I can't stop thinking about you. Sound familiar? No? Alhamdulillah. Right. But this is emotional intimacy when you are bonding with that person and there's no physical contact. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only addresses that. Why? Because I have seen in my experience as a counselor that sometimes the emotional attachment is more detrimental and more harmful than the physical contact that people had. Right? People can't move on. They wanted to marry this man and, you know, his family or her family or both families, or for some reason they couldn't get married. Right? And so they move on. So he moves on. He marries someone else. But she can't get married. She can't be with someone else because she's given her heart to him already. He was the only person that she thought that she could love. She still thinks that way. So her life has now been stalled. I can't tell you how many people I have met like this. People that email me even now, right? That I've never met in real life. You know, not from a course like this, but people that send me messages like this. Men and women. And I've seen how it's destroyed their lives. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only speaks about the zina, the fornication and the physical and the sexual, but also this is important to realize that He's also speaking about that emotional attachment that people have to the opposite sex. And it's a strong one because Allah has created us with the need to have that for the opposite sex. So it's there. And so this is the first ayah. Then the first proof. The second thing we also need to realize is that the Sharia has forbidden zina, right? Is it permissible in Islam? No, it's not permissible. And so what Islam has done is not only to tell you that, Tariq, it's haram, don't do it. But they said to me and you, it is haram. Let me teach you how you can stay away from it. Let me teach you how you can avoid falling into it. So what is the first thing Allah teaches us?
قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ.
Tell the believing men to lower their gaze.
وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ.
And let them protect their private parts. Lower your gaze. Sounds simple. Because when I look at someone desirable from the opposite sex, that's the first thing. Let me give you a typical example. Young boy, 15, 16 years old, walks into to the mall. Right, he's dressed, you know, how 16-year-old boys go to the mall dressed. Any 16-year-old boys here? Right, excellent. So they go to the mall, right? They're wearing the best clothes, the shoes, mashallah. They might even gel the hair. I don't have that anymore. But alhamdulillah, right? So now, on a side note, I try to scare my son, right? Because he likes to now, you know, he wants to gel his hair. 7 years old, because he saw my brothers doing it. So I tell him, you know why I don't have hair anymore? Because I used to gel it. So now when he wants to do it, he's like, I like my hair too much. I don't think I want to lose it. But let's move on. So that's how they go. So now he's in the mall. He's looking good, smelling good. And then he sees someone. MashaAllah. Right? Allah is the best of creators. This is a practicing brother. Right? Allah is the best of creators. And he sees her and he finds her very attractive. She's standing there with her friends. And what's the next thing? He wants to know something about her now, doesn't he? Because he's that physical attraction is there. What's her name? How old is she? Where is she from? So if he's a person with confidence and self-esteem, and he's done this before, or he's been told how to do it, and this is the other issue, unfortunately. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, inshallah. So he goes over, and he says, you know, hi, assalamu alaikum, sorry, not hi. Right, and he greets her, and like, what's your name, you know, and then he wants to impress her, Masmuki, right? So I know some Arabic as well. And he gets to know her, right? And that's how it starts. And what does he leave with, you know, what's your number, are you on WhatsApp or on Facebook, you know? And then he leaves with that. And then he goes at home at night. He's excited. She's excited because she felt the same. And this is how it starts. Okay. Then he says, you know, let's go on a date. They go on a date. And most of the time, in most cultures, unfortunately, that always ends up in a physical relationship. Okay. It might not go into full, you know, what we would say is zina, but every other step. Okay. That's normally how it happens. It happens many other ways. You know, doesn't have to be a mall. You know, let's not stop at the mall. I've seen this happen at Islamic gatherings like this as well, right? Unfortunately, brothers are standing outside there, right? Give you an example. I'm in one country, I won't mention that country, and we're having a break, and I'm like, this brother, like, so sister, so where are you from? And I'm like, really? You came to an Islamic event and this is what you are doing? Subhanallah. Very disappointing. But anyway, it does happen. Why does it happen? I can't judge those people. Why? Because it's natural. It's going to happen. Okay? What you need to do, the first thing you need to do is lower your gaze. Okay? When you're in the company of the opposite sex, lower your gaze. When you're in the mall, lower your gaze. What does it mean? Does it mean walking like this and then knocking into things? No, doesn't mean that, right? Lowering the gaze means averting the gaze. It's looking somewhere else, right? So if she's there, I'm looking there, right? Talking to my friends. I don't have to stare at her, because the more you stare, the more you will want to. You want to know more, right? The more attractive that person will become. And that's why lowering the gaze is the first step. What is the second step? The second step, no, is not to fast, right? But the second step is what the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that you have in front of you. That no man and a woman is alone, except that shaitan is the third amongst them. Now, when I was growing up and I heard this hadith, because I had many female friends, I never understood it. I'm alone with her. Nothing, you know. Well, what's the point? But then I realized, when I started counseling, this hadith, how powerful it is. Subhanallah. Most of the couples that came to me because of adultery and because of being involved with someone else has always been because at work they were alone with someone from work, a colleague. They spent time together going over reports, finishing assignments or whatever they needed to do for work. And this happens at universities as well. And what happens is, because whether you're married or unmarried, what happens, you would say, if you're unmarried, you're like, wow, I never noticed that she's got a beautiful smile, huh? Right? I didn't know. He's got dimples. I didn't know he has dimples. Right? And when you're alone with someone, like, they're so kind. So, you know, they're so affectionate, so mature, so intelligent. And the list is, you know, that list goes on. Whatever you think is attractive in the opposite sex, when you are alone with someone from the opposite sex, even though you didn't find them attractive before, you will be amazed how many things you can now list is attractive about that person. Right? We're not just talking about the physical traits, because we are not all attracted to the physical traits alone. Most of us are attracted to everything about that person. Right? Everything about them. Their personalities, their intelligence, the fact that they are shy, for instance, or they're not shy, they're the opposite of shy. Right? So these are all things, and now when you are alone with that person, becomes very, very apparent to you. Okay? And the next thing that happens is that slowly but surely, that emotional attachment becomes a physical one. And what has happened? You have then fallen into what Allah had made haram at the beginning, which was zina. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقَرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not come close to it. Stay far, far away from it. In our culture, let me share something with you. On the day of Eid, what do you call Eid here? Labarang? You don't call it Labarang? Is that an Indonesian way? Because most of my ancestors, at least my Malay ancestors, came from Java and Makassar. My great-grandmother's from Makassar, right? I know many of you, when you saw my bio, you thought I was going to be of different colors, right? Like this half. Anyway, like my arm will be a different color than this arm, right? Anyway, but the point I want to make is, on Labarang, on Eid, what happens is that we kiss everyone, right? So if I go over to my neighbor's place and he's got three daughters that are teenagers or older, you know, I'm like, assalamu alaikum and a kiss on the cheek, right? Assalamu alaikum and a kiss on the cheek. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, right? And we don't think that's a problem. Really, wallahi, it's normal. It's normal in our society, okay? And we used to, when we were growing up, used to look forward to Eid. Not because it was Eid, because then you get to kiss all the girls, right? That is our culture. But the point I want to make here is, look how our societies don't think, or rather not think, but our societies don't give importance to what Islam has given importance to. We don't have the same ideals. We say we are Muslims, but we don't have the same objectives. We don't have the same ideals. We don't have the same goals. We don't think like the Sharia thinks, if I can say that, right? If the Sharia thinks, I'm just using it as a term, right? We don't. Our minds are totally, you know, we don't think like that. It's like alien to us. So what I'm saying is, if we are going to protect ourselves, we have to become more in sync with this. You know, when you sync your phone, those of you that have smartphones, you know, when you sync your Google account, those of you that have Android, which is the only phone you should have, anyone that has an Apple should get rid of it now, you know. Any Apples or MacBooks, I saw one over there, I was like, keep that away from me. I want to do read Ayatul Kursi. But, which brings me to something else, but let's not go in there. Right? The point I want to make here is that we have to become in sync with the Sharia. Right? We have to sync ourselves to the Sharia so that we can protect ourselves. Now, coming back to the dating issue, can you give me the next slide, inshallah? Right. So you're on campus right now, you're at the university, and you are working in da'wah. You are part of the Muslim projects, Muslim Heroes Project. You're part of the, you know, the, what do you call it here? The SRC, right? The MSA, there we go, excellent, right? So the MSA. And so there are men and women, girls and boys in this organization. And so what happens is, what normally happens is, how do you then interact with the opposite sex in these gatherings? Now what I've seen, unfortunately, in so many countries that I've traveled to, is that these MSAs become a place where people don't come together for the sake of Allah, but they come together for the sake of... anyone? Looking for a spouse, right? So why are you joining the MSA, brother? No, work. I want to work for the sake of Allah. I want to give da'wah. I want to... Okay, really, brother? Why? Okay? But how does one avoid that happening? That it becomes that? Firstly, purify your intention. But when you are already in the organization, make sure that your interaction with the opposite sex is kept to a limit. You know, when you answer the phone, and this is for everyone, for those of you that are married, those of you that never want to get married, whatever, right? Is there anyone here like that? Okay, you can tell me later in private, inshallah. Right. But the point I want to make here is that keeping your interaction to the bare minimum that you need to, and also the way that you interact. Not like, Oh, mashallah, sister, you look so beautiful. Well, that abaya fits you so well. Right? I've seen brothers do this. I'm like, a'udhu billah, what are you doing? Right? In telling her how the makeup looks on her, what a beautiful smile she has. You know, why do you need to talk to her about this? Is the report finished? Yes, no, jazakallahu khairan, and I'm gone. Right? I don't need to know everything about you and tell you what you are like and what I'm like. You know, in my country, in South Africa, we do this and we do that. We have Table Mountain. And what do you have in your country? You don't need to speak about those things. Avoid joking, right? Because we are attracted to people whose sense of humor we enjoy. Whether we are males or females. If your wife can make you laugh, mashallah, that's an amazing thing. If you can make your wife laugh, that's a beautiful relationship right there. Right? It's not the only ingredient, but it's an important one. So, when I joke with a sister and she finds it funny, or she makes a joke and I find it funny, that's a recipe for attraction. And because you're not married, that's something that you want to avoid. If your society is like mine, you know, when people phone, and like, let's say someone phones and Assalamu alaikum. It's not going to work. Should we do it this way? But Assalamu alaikum. How are you? How's everything? How's the wife? How's the family? How's the husband? You know, how's all this? And the conversation, none of this is necessary. Okay? There's a difference between being rude and being and keeping to the bare minimum. Right? Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm fine. How are you? No, my husband's not here right now. Or my dad, or my mother, or whoever, right? Can I take a message for you? Okay, jazakumullah khairan, salamu alaykum. That's it. But our conversations are not like that. Okay? I was at an office recently, and I noticed that the interaction between the men and the women was far more cordial than it's supposed to be. I'm not talking about, sometimes, you know, you say something funny, isn't it so? Like you're in a group of men and women, and then someone says something funny, and then everyone's laughing. That's fine. But when it becomes something where you want to make everyone laugh, where your intention is to draw attention to yourself, especially that person that you are attracted to in that group, then it becomes something that you need to worry about. Okay? Because sometimes we want things, and I want to share this with you, sometimes we want things and we want them badly. And then when we get them, they destroy us. We want them so badly with every ounce of our souls and our desires. We want that thing or that person. And then when we get that thing or person, then it destroys us. So be very, very careful about how you go about getting what you want and making sure that it's always in line with the Sharia. Okay, never be alone. Of course, this goes without saying, when you're having your meetings on the MSA with your project, you know, never be alone with anyone from the opposite sex. Always make sure that there are a group of people there. You know, never go on trips alone. You know, that we're going for da'wah, printing, whatever. Don't do that alone. Okay? Always make sure that there are people around. Don't joke. Make sure that communication is kept to a minimal. If you ensure this, and let me share something with you. If you are interested in someone on the committee or on the MSA, there are two questions you're going to have to ask. And so can we get to those questions, inshallah? Okay. This hadith, have you all heard this hadith? The hadith says that there is nothing like marriage for two people who love each other. Who's heard this hadith before? Anyone? This hadith? Now I hear this hadith a lot. Because people come to me and they say, Sheikh, I like this girl, she likes me, we must get married, please convince my parents. Okay. Right? And why should I do that? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that there's nothing better for two people who love each other, like each other, males and females, of course, except that they should get married. That's how they understand it. Okay, what we have to understand is the following. What does this hadith mean? Number one, there's a mutual attraction. Don't come to me with this hadith, and you like the person, but they don't share your feelings. The hadith doesn't apply. Because the Arabic says, mutahabbayni. And on that scale, there's mutual attraction. I like you, you like me. That kind of thing. Right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is that attraction is both physical, meaning that you feel that if you don't get married to this person, that you will commit zina. The both of you feel this way. That so strong is your attraction that you feel that you will fall into haram. And this hadith does not encourage. This means that there's already that attraction. Not that the attraction has been developed in a haram relationship. Let me say that again. What do I mean? Right? So you have been going out for a year. MashaAllah. Right? And now you want to get married. And now you quote the hadith. The hadith doesn't apply to you. Do you understand? The hadith doesn't apply to you. The hadith applies to someone. Let me give you an example. I go to the masjid. I don't know why this is going to happen at the masjid, but bear with me. I go to the masjid. As I'm walking out to the masjid, I see a beautiful sister. And I don't mean beautiful only in her physical appearance, but I see a very nice, mashallah, she's at the masjid, she's with her dad, you know, etc., etc. And I see her father and I think to myself, subhanallah, that is someone that I would like to get married to. So what do? I speak to the father. Let me just share something with you quickly. I had a friend, this happened to him. So he wanted to get married to this girl, but he wasn't going to the masjid. And her father was a person who goes to the masjid how many times a day? 5. Right. So what he did was, he said, he told me, Tariq, wallahi, she's beautiful, ya. She's amazing, you know, she's shy, she's intelligent. Oh, you know, he was like listing, you know, all the things about her that just made her so amazing. Right? And he has to marry her. I said, Akhi, her father will never marry her to you. He says, why? Because you don't go to the masjid. Right? So he said, okay, I see your point. Next salah is in the masjid. He's in the masjid for every salah after that. Every salah, he's the first in the masjid. In the first saf. And he makes a point after every salah, he goes to greet her father. Salaamu alaikum, Uncle Yusuf, how are you? Right? That's how it goes. And it goes on like that for weeks. Right? Goes on like that for weeks. But you know what, subhanAllah. He started going to the masjid for what? To get married for someone. Right? But Allah placed in his heart a love for salah. A love for the sweetness of ibadah, of worship. And he started really, wallahi, I know this person, you know, personally. He started forgetting why he came to the masjid in the first place. Because then he started coming for the classes, he would sit with the imam after and go over his Quran, even long after the father had gone in the mornings for Fajr. And he just became a more practicing, you know, stronger brother. And you know what happened? The father came to him one day and said, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but you know what? Subhanallah, I think you are the perfect person to marry my daughter. Right? Now, if that is not a romantic story, I don't know what is. But anyway, mashallah, they have 4 children together today. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, let's move on. So the point I want to make here is that the hadith does not apply to the person that has been going out with someone for a year or 5 years or however long, and now when they want to get married, especially when they have been criticized for their haram relationship, right? Oh, and how can you be, no, subhanAllah, do you know, etc. And this is wrong and they shouldn't be doing this. And then they say, okay, what should we do then? Well, get married. And so what they do is they come to you and they say, they quote this hadith. This hadith doesn't apply to you. This hadith applies to that person who just happens to have an attraction. Not a deep, no, like Romeo and Juliet kind of love, you know? And we're going to get to Romeo and Juliet a little bit later, right? But this doesn't apply to that person who has engaged in a haram relationship for many months or years and now wants to use the hadith as almost as the last card, forcing their parents to get them married. Okay? Can we move on, inshallah? Right. I think this has happened to all of us. Right? This has happened to all of us. So, I thought they were seeing something I wasn't seeing. Right? But anyway, this has happened to all of us, whether we are going to admit it or not, but it has happened to every one of us. It has, at some stage of our lives, where we have had a crush. I don't know, what do you call it in Malaysia? I say it again? Is there a special word, a slang term? A crush. In South Africa, in Cape Town, we call it, we use the word smark. Literally, the word smark is an Afrikaans Dutch word for tasting. I never thought about it like that. Anyway. So smark, right? Smark, crush, whatever word you want to use. It is that infatuation with someone from the opposite sex. A girl, a boy, whatever it might be. Okay. So we've all experienced that. And we've all thought that it's love. Oh, this is what love feels like. Butterflies in the tummy. You know, when that person walks into the room, you're like, oh, you know, just... You know, and when that person smiles, you smile. You know, when that person's happy, you're happy. When that person's sad, you are overflowing with empathy. Right? Isn't it so? Like, why are you so sad? Okay? That feeling, infatuation, right? A crush, a smirk, if I can use that word. So now, what happens if this, what should you do if this happens to you? Okay? Because it's natural. It's going to happen. Right? It's not something you can just shut off. It's not a part of your nature. You can just press a button and it's gone. You all of a sudden not attracted to the opposite sex. And don't find that person to be, you know, the best thing ever. The best thing since sliced bread, as my mother always used to say. And I never understood it, and I still don't. Okay, so the first thing you need to be aware of is, let it not distract you from the worship of Allah. When you find that your crush has taken over all of your thoughts, and even when you are in salah, I wonder what she's doing now. This is a bad sign. Wallahi, it is a bad sign. When you are worshipping Allah, and you are still thinking of that person, when not being with that person causes you to become so depressed, you stop going to the masjid, you stop going to classes, you stop reading the Quran, you stop, you know, doing anything which is beloved to Allah, then you know you have a problem. Okay? And if you follow some of the steps I mentioned earlier about dating and about being, you know, around the opposite sex, you will protect yourself even more. Okay? The next thing that you need to do is ask Allah, make dua to Allah that if this person is good for you, then Allah should allow you to marry this person. If this person is good for you, and oh Allah, you know, if Muhammad or Fatima is good for me, then make this person part of my future, make this person my spouse. Because wallahi al-azim, I swear by Allah, that the best expression of love, as the Prophet said, is marriage. It is where you can be as comfortable as possible with the person that you love. You will not find this in any other relationship. Okay? When you are married to someone, when you are comfortable, that person protects you, you protect them. They take care of your emotions, your physical needs, all of them. All of these things that, you know, we want in marriage, and we'll talk about, you know, that a little bit later. But you will not find it in what Allah has made haram. You will not find happiness. You will not find contentment. Contentment in what Allah has made haram. Let us not fool ourselves that because it is love, everything is okay. Movies, TV series, magazines, novels tell us that as long as you love this person, everything is okay. You can run away from home, give up your family and your friends. You can disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can give up on your dreams. Let's say you want to be, you know, you want to be an aerospace engineer, or you want to be a doctor, or you want to be, you know, something. You want to pursue a certain career. But because you fell in love, you have to give that up. Right? So all of this, it affects it because it is not a halal relationship. So keep that in mind. The next thing that you want to do, go back please. Right? Is two things. You want to ask two questions. Two questions. Right? You want to know if that person feels the same way. Because if they don't, then that's just sad. Right? No, I don't mean it like that. Oh, no. I mean that you love someone, you want to be with someone, that you find that person, so amazing, but that person doesn't feel the same way. Why would you continue living your life like that? That's anguish. That's depression. That's sadness. That's heartbreak. That's heartache. Right? You want to be with someone, but you can't because they don't feel the same way. Right? Why would you do that to yourself? Okay? You wouldn't. I mean, would you put your hand on a fire you know it's hot? You wouldn't do that. You know, you'll stay far away from it. Okay? But once the food has cooled down, you know, okay, that's a bad example. Bad analogy. Just strike that off. Let's move on. So that's the first thing you want to ask. You want to ask is, does the person feel the same way? The second question is, can you marry this person? Okay? Now, what happens is, Muhammad likes Fatima. Or let's use Khadija in this example. Right? Muhammad likes Khadija. Khadija likes Muhammad. Okay, step one, tick. Step two, can you get married? Khadija, well, my parents don't have a problem with it. Muhammad, well, my parents do. Because we're still students, and I'm not working, and they want to know how I'm going to take care of you, etc., etc. Or worse than this one is Khadija is not from the same tribe, country, or race as Muhammad is. That's the problem. That kills me. In KL, every person that comes to the office now for counseling, it's this problem. Right? She's from Nigeria, he's from Japan. You know, someone's from Bangladesh, another person is from England, right? Someone's from here, from Malaysia, right? Her parents are fine with it, but he, you know, his parents are from, I don't know where, I'm not going to say, and they're not fine. You know, he should marry someone from that place. Subhanallah, why? Because it's our culture. It's our race, you know. We must keep the genes all there, right? You want to dilute, the worst one I heard. We don't want to dilute the gene pool. A'udhu billah. What is this? Huh? Dilute the gene pool? It's because you're not diluting. Anyway, let's not get into that. So, this is the problem. If two people fulfill the conditions which the Sharia have stipulated, it doesn't matter whether one comes from Earth and the other one comes from Mars. Let them get married. Okay? But anyway, I'll talk about this later, inshallah ta'ala. So these are two questions you need to know. Does the person feel the same way? And number two, can you marry that person? Okay? If not, then move on. It's difficult, I know. Wallahi, it's very difficult. Okay? But if you love Allah and you love yourself, then you will do it. You will move on. How do you move on? If you then find someone else. Find out if there are other people. You know, people always joke and they say the thing about the fish in the sea. Right? Ah, there are many fish in the sea, right? Have you heard this before? You use it in Malaysia, right? Fish in the sea. So, that, I don't like that because it's, you know, it's kind of demeaning, but I like the sentiment. What does it mean? What is the sentiment? What is the purpose behind this? It means there are other people. And wallahi, there are people sometimes better than the person you thought you were attracted to in the first place. This is the reality. Okay? If the person doesn't feel the same way, and you can't marry that person, or both, then move on. Right? Try. Ask Allah. This is the first thing. We never do this. We always wallow in our self-pity. Ask Allah to remove those feelings, to make you feel better. Ask Allah to take away your longing for that person. Take away these feelings of depression and heartache that you feel because they don't feel the same way, or that you can't be with them because of their parents, or whatever other reason. Right? The first thing. The second thing is, stop being in that person's company. Right? If you have to, resign from the MSA, resign from, you know, from that committee. Do another sport, do something else, so that you slowly wean yourself off from those feelings that you have. Right? But always make sure that you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you feel that way. Now we can move on. Okay. Right. It's a pity that, you know, normally when I speak to younger people, we ask them what movies they watch, you know, because they're not mukallaf yet. You know, like 12 and 13 year olds. So you watch movies? Yes. What movie did you watch recently? And they tell us, right? So, if you look at let's just talk about animated movies. We don't even talk about like real movies. Who watched The Lion King? Anyone? The Lion King? Okay, so The Lion King. Let's go with The Lion King. The Lion King is an animated movie. 1990, 1995, whatever year it was. 94? Oh, excellent, right? So like me, you were someone who watched it like 20 times, right? But The Lion King, it's about a father and a son. That's part of the story. That's part of the plot. But what's part of the plot as well? Doesn't Simba fall in love? Huh? Falls in love. There are so many other lionesses, but he falls in love with this one. They have an undying love for one another. They have to be together. And as you know, it's a movie, so there must be a happy ending. So they get married and they have they have cubs of their own. Did they get married? I don't know. Right? But let's pause here and let's go to another movie. And another, and another. Almost every single movie you can think of. I want to ask you this question. Every movie that you've watched, name a movie that does not have a romantic theme. Even if it's a horror, it has a romantic theme. There's someone there that's dating, or there's something happening there. There's love and there's affection and there's other things happening. But there's barely a movie that's on offer. Oh, don't get me started on Bollywood. Oh my goodness. Right? They don't know anything else, right? Bollywood is like every movie, even if the movie is talking about a nuclear terrorist, you know, something, there's love and there's some story going on there. But what's the point? They know how you and I think. They know that we find that very, very, you know, appealing. That's very attractive to us. We want to go and watch people fall in love and people, you know, live happily ever after. And especially when they are two attractive people, isn't it so? Oh, that's the dream life. You know, guys are sitting there watching that. Oh, look at the hair. You know, I wish my wife has hair like that. And she's like, I wish my husband had a body like that. And, you know, this is unfortunately what is happening. Not that I'm saying, especially for the brothers, right? Yeah, what? There's nothing wrong with having a six-pack. Go ahead. You know, get a six-pack. You know, it's healthy. It's the sunnah, actually, by the way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a flat stomach and a flat chest. And he used to eat very little, right? We know that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very physical. He used to wrestle, he used to ride horses, he used to fight in the, you know, in jihad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a physical person. If any of you come to KL, I will take you to our mixed martial arts gym and we'll put you through your paces inshallah. But join us, come. Right? And soon inshallah ta'ala we're going to start a female section. So we'll be doing martial arts training for the women. Don't worry, there'll be a female trainer, special times, etc., etc. But let's move on. So TV series, who has watched the TV series, How I Met Your Mother? You saw that? Now tell me, how difficult is it going to be for a teenager or a person in their 20s or at any age watching this and believing that it is not okay to be involved in that kind of relationship? Because they normalize it for us. That's what normal people do. Not normal. That's what cool people do. That's what cool people do. Cool people sleep around. Cool people have as many boyfriends and girlfriends as possible. Cool people don't care who they hurt in the process. Cool people, even though they get dumped, they pick themselves up again and go out and date 20 or 30 other men and women. That's what cool people do. Sophisticated, educated, right? That's what they do. And I can go on and on and on giving you names of movies and TV series, but this is the picture they paint for you and me as a Muslim, right? This is the life that you need to aspire to. If you want to be successful, you want to be cool, you want to be, you know, you want to be someone admired, then this is how you need to live your life, okay? So you look at novels, and I want to share two things with you. If you look at the pornography industry, it is geared towards who? Pornography is geared towards men. It's marketed for men specifically, even though many women watch it and engage with it and consume it as well. But this, like novels and movies and this, focuses more on the demographic, the female demographic. Why? Two reasons. Men, in general, are more physically, you know, stimulated than women are, and women are more emotionally stimulated than men are. So they know exactly how we think. That is why if you look at most of these movies, there's an equal, slightly equal amount of both. Physical, you know, they show us the bodies and the forms of men and women so that the men are there, you know, like all attention. And there's an interesting amount of romance and love and empathy and emotions and affection and all of those other things. And women find that. Men also find it attractive, but women find it more attractive. Okay, more. It's a general statement. Not all women are like this and not all men are like that. But generally, this is how we are. So, what do we do? I'm not here to tell you that you should stop watching these things, right? That is a decision that you have to make on your own. Because if I say it is haram, you will give it up for a week and then you can't resist and you have to download the next series or season of something else. Right? Oh, maybe this one, the Sheikh wasn't talking about. He said, How I Met Your Mother. So I'll stop watching that. Maybe I can watch something else, you know, like Breaking Bad. I heard it's good, you know. I heard Breaking Bad's good, or I heard this is good. And this is the problem. People, if I tell you it is haram, if I tell you this is haram, then you're going to have that problem. Give it up. Give it up. Because it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will save your heart. It will make you a stronger person. There's a beautiful lecture, a clip that I want you to watch. It's by Sheikh Kamal Maki from the States. It's about movies, right? And he has another one, another lecture, and a clip as well about music, Okay? I'm not here to tell you that music is haram as well. But when you think about it, most music, what is it called to? What is it about? It's about love. It's about I'll die for you. You know? I kiss the girl. We'll talk about homosexuality later. How difficult is it going to tell teenage girls that homosexuality is not permissible when they grew up or 5 years ago, whenever the song came out, you know, I kissed a girl. Right? Makes it very difficult. Because popular culture is telling her that it's okay. Most movies and series now has an homosexual element to it. Yes or no? Do you agree with me? Most of them, there's either a gay couple in there, or a lesbian couple, or there's something about homosexuality in there. Or maybe the theme, maybe even if it is a political show about politics, like the American government, there's going to be a discussion there about same-sex marriages and same-sex, you know, gay rights, etc., etc. Right? So how difficult does it become to tell someone what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Let me give an example so that you can understand my point here even more. My son was 4 years old, right? How, I don't know, because we don't have a TV at home. He had watched Iron Man. You know Iron Man? You met him? Is a suit as cool in real life as it is on TV, right? But the point is, he once asked me, at 4 years old, he asked me this question. He said, Abi, is Iron Man stronger than the Prophet? No one asked him that question. That question isn't in the movie. But because of what he's watching, these are the questions that he is himself thinking about. This is how it's affected his psyche and his thinking. Let me give you another example. I'm in India. I lived in India for a year. So I was in India, and I was teaching a class, and I was teaching them that before you go to bed at night, you must read Ayatul Kursi. Why, Sheikh? Because it will protect you from shaitan until you wake up. Right? Boy, Sheikh, yes, Majid, what's the question? What's the issue? Will it also protect us from vampires? I was like, what? Will Ayatul Kursi protect you from the vampires as well? That's a heavy fatwa. We need to have like a fatwa conference to answer that one, right? But the point I want to make is, we underestimate the power of television and the media on our minds. We do. Right? And you see, if you sit with the children, you sit with the adults. We underestimate the power of media on how we think and how we view. One last example that's relevant now. When you grow up on this, and you get married, your expectations of your spouse is formed by what? It's by that. So when you get married and your wife or your husband isn't that, what happens? Like, imagine you wake up one morning and your wife is brushing her teeth. They never show that, do they? I never saw that in a movie. Oh yes, but that didn't end well in that movie. Right? She was brushing her teeth, or he was brushing his teeth, or, you know, something like that. Something you don't really expect to read in a novel or see on a movie, right? Something in you. Let me give you an example. The morning after I got married, a fly fell into my, we were having breakfast, and a fly fell into my cup, right? So now the hadith, what does the hadith say? If a fly falls into your cup, you should immerse it completely. And because on one wing it has the disease, and on the other wing it has the, what's the antibody, the cure, whatever. So I did that. And I dipped it nicely, and I took it out, and I continued drinking my coffee. My wife, she freaked out. Like, she never read that in a novel anyway. Right? I wasn't supposed to be doing something like that. So the point I want to make is that if we want to be happy in our marriages, if we want to be happy in our relationships, then the expectations that we have should be molded on the Quran and the Sunnah, not molded on Hollywood or Bollywood or anything else. Okay? What I need from my spouse should be dictated to me from the Quran and the Sunnah. How she is supposed to be, how he is supposed to be, how I am supposed to treat my wife, and how my wife is supposed to treat me should not be dictated by anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's how you are going to be happy. Because the Sharia caters for every one of your needs, I swear by Allah. There isn't, even if, whether you say, well, where's the romance in Islam? Ya salam, that's a different, that's a topic we could spend the whole day talking about. Example after example, not only from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, but from the lives of other prophets and from so many people, people that we know. Like, let me see a show of hands. Whose parents or grandparents have been married for like 30 or 40 years or longer? Okay? So what's the secret? Why is it that as a marriage counselor in Cape Town, in South Africa, I was dealing with at least one case of divorce every week? And that's only me. And there are hundreds of other people like me in the city. Right? Muslims and non-Muslims. Why is there so much divorce? Why are there so many marital breakups? Why are so many people having relationships outside of marriage? You know, while they are married, extramarital affairs. Why? One of my personal experiences, or the way that I've analyzed this in my experience, is most of the time they don't find in their spouse what they found in the other person, because it wasn't defined for them in a way that the Sharia defined it. Rather, they grew up with an understanding of how it's supposed to be. Now that they are married, it's not there. My husband isn't like this. My wife isn't like that. Right? And we'll share some of those things later. We'll take a break now, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you are really concerned that whatever fever or pain they are feeling, it's as if you can feel it yourself. That's empathy. That's affection and love. Not when your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend feels some pain and they're crying and they're whimpering, you know, irritates you. But why are you crying? You can't be that sore, man. You know? This is what I've seen in couples. This is what I've seen in married couples. This is what happens when we don't work on our marriages. We don't think that there's effort to be made.